Hey, you're listening to The Growth Signal. My name is Alyssa Nolte.
And I'm T. Christian Helms.
And we are going to have a great conversation. So let's get right into it. What is your hot take?
I think it's simple. It's that branding can be your unfair advantage in the marketplace. And the key is talking to people like they're people and not a target audience.
Oh, God, I can already tell we're going to have a great conversation because I have gone down this road, as every guru on the internet and LinkedIn has told you, like, you have to have a personal brand and it has to be consistent. And, you know, what do you want to be known for? And then I tried to do that and I discovered that it was so inauthentic to who I was as a person that it not only gave me the ick, but it gave my prospective customers the ick as well. Because we can all see through that, right? We all know when someone's making shit up and they're not really who they say they are.
100%. I literally gave a talk in Dallas last week that said practically exactly that. You know, I think a goal in life is to essentially evolve to a point where you are 100% you. And you've got to align your personal brand with what that is, and your professional brand for that matter. There shouldn't be dramatic separation. There shouldn't be code switching. It should be genuine and true. If you think about all of the folks you admire, it's because they're just 100% them and they don't try to please everybody. They're just about what they're about. And I think that's a big key.
Well, and the people that we all admire, we see those articles, like, let's think of a celebrity, right? You think of them as a wonderful, kind, loving person or whoever, and then you find out that they're rude to the wait staff at a restaurant or stuff like that, right? And it's almost that moment of, like, it hurts worse than if you just knew that they were that way in the first place, right? If they were just that way and that's who they are, it would hurt less than finding out that you're, you know, don't meet your hero.
In my early career, I did a lot of work in the music industry and sort of the indie rock realm. And there were a couple of artists that I purposefully chose not to meet, even though they were clients of mine, because I was like, I've had my heart broken before. I can't, if Jeff Tweedy's having a bad day, I can't hate Wilco. So not going to happen. But to flip that coin, I randomly spent a day with Anthony Bourdain on TV, chugging margaritas and getting tattoos and all kinds of great stuff. And he was even better in person and more thoughtful and more caring and just an absolute just gem of a person. So it can definitely swing either way, right?
Yeah, I love that. You're not the first person actually on the show to talk about spending time with Anthony Bourdain, which is really like the smallest of worlds. And she also said he was one of the most incredible people that she has ever had a chance to connect with. And so it's funny that, you know, we're two for two on someone saying nice things about Anthony Bourdain.
He was fantastic. I've got great stories.
So if someone is hearing this, they're having the same thought of, you know, they've listened to all the LinkedIn personal brand, TikTok gurus, whatever. They've tried to craft a perfect LinkedIn headline and speak to being a thought leader and be known for something. And it never really stuck. How do we actually start on this journey to be authentically who we are, both personally and professionally, in a way that does what we all, let's be honest, what we all want to do, which is drive business?
I literally used the process of branding to kind of build the life that I wanted. I had a big health crisis years ago. I had Lyme disease and kind of had to rebuild life after that. And it's simple. It's a process of strategy and execution. And, you know, what's your mission and vision? What's your core purpose? What's your North Star? Mine is to create things that bring value and joy to people's lives and build wealth for my family. And wealth doesn't necessarily mean money. Health and wellness is wealth, right? Meaningful relationships is wealth. And from there, everything should ladder back up to that North Star. You think about what's your tone of voice? What is your personal communication style? Mine's to be really transparent. Probably uncomfortably so at times. And then who's your audience? Like, who do you want to surround yourself with, right? Like, what culture and values do you want the people that surround you to have? And it just goes on and on from there. But you really can build the life and career you want if you go through that process. It's really valuable.
I do want to ask you, though, about self-awareness, I guess, is the word that comes to mind, because I've done branding exercises with companies and they say one thing, but they mean another. And they say, like, oh, we're customer-centric. Everything is for the customer. But when it comes down to the decisions behind closed doors in the boardroom, they do like whatever is actually best for the investors or for the bottom line.
Yeah.
And like there's these values that we all know societally we are supposed to have, right? But if that's not really your North Star, can you make it your North Star, or do you need to have an honest conversation about what really is your North Star?
You hit the nail on the head. You have to have an honest conversation. It has to be unflinchingly honest, because people, as you said earlier, can smell a mile away in authenticity. And so much of what we see out in the world right now, whether it's branding or personal branding, is performative. It's not true. You know, we want people to dance to the beat of their own drum, but not as a performance to get noticed, as a true, you know, expression of who they are.
So let's take it like, okay, if we have to start with having an honest conversation, or maybe we don't. I guess I don't know. Tell us, how do we get started? If I'm hearing this and I need to go down this path, I feel called to do that personal branding and do it right and do it for real. What is the first thing that I'm supposed to do?
It's a real deep look inward, to start to think about the truth of these questions we're asking. And another interesting way to do it is start to talk to people who really know you and love you and get a sense from them. What do you think I'm about? What do you think I stand for? Et cetera. Sometimes an outside perspective can help. I've branded every company imaginable at this point, but branding yourself is way harder than branding a company, because you don't always have the insight on the truth of yourself like you can see very transparently with a company you're working with. So it's some tough work, but it's worthwhile.
It's so wild too, because the minute you said like you have to have a conversation with people around you, I immediately like clammed up, and I had this moment of I have to be vulnerable with other people, and I have to like hear things that maybe I don't necessarily want to hear. And I have done 100+ episodes of a podcast, and there's honestly nothing more vulnerable than like putting yourself out there and having conversations with strangers. Sure. And I still had that visceral reaction to like having to be vulnerable with people who I know and love and care about me. So yeah. How do we even go down this road?
I'll tell you, sort of a benchmark for me is the podcaster Marc Maron, also a comedian. He started a podcast back in the very beginning before everybody was doing it, right? And he was really in a tough place in his life. And rather than kind of gloss over that, he was just brutally truthful about what was going on with him. And he creates these, he will call them interviews, he calls them conversations, because he says, I'm not an interviewer, that are so insightful and so meaningful, that we can take so much away from, because in that personal lies the universal, right? The more personal and direct and honest you can be, the more people are going to take from it.
I think that's important too, because there's this perception amongst people in my space who are trying to build a business. And we all know that part of building a great business is the personal brand of your founder, because a lot of my community is entrepreneurs. And there's real research that shows that if your founder has more followers on LinkedIn than your company page, your company is 10 times more likely to be successful, or something to that effect. And you know, they've done this with Microsoft and all of these different entities. So there's pressure for business leaders like myself to do this personal brand. And there is a little bit of a fear of, what if I turn off that one customer because they don't like that I like a certain type of music? Or what if I, you know, blow a big deal because I talk about something that's near and dear to my heart? Should we even be fearing that? And if so, or if not, how do we get over that?
Yeah, I mean, I think just being comfortable with the fact that not everybody is your client, not everybody is your person, not everybody is going to be a perfect fit for you, and being okay with that. If you go to our website, there's literally in the about section, there's a piece that says we don't work with assholes, and that includes us. None on our team, none on your team, or this is a no-go. And if somebody is turned off by that, they're probably not our client. But if they get a kick out of that, which most of our favorite clients do, you kind of know, okay, we're already on the same footing, so this could be good.
Yeah, I need to put on my my website, I would rather not work with people who are just here to spend money and waste time, because I've worked on projects before where they had budget to spend. They threw it over to us because they didn't know what else to do with it. But they had no real plan to make any meaningful change or let us drive meaningful value. And yeah, it was good money, but damn, was I bored. Damn, was I unfulfilled. And I'd rather work on projects I care about and make less money than work on projects I don't love and make a ton.
I agree. But then the random one comes along that you get both, right? And those are fantastic.
Oh my God. Those are like the unicorn projects that if I could have two or three more of those a year, I would be the happiest camper.
Well, the cool thing is the more you do it, people see it and come to you for that. And we've really been able to build a niche for ourselves where people know kind of what we do and how we do it. And they either want that or they don't. So we don't get a lot of clients who are inauthentic or posturing or unwilling to kind of be real. And we're absolutely thankful for that.
Yeah. And, you know, in hindsight, right, and thinking about this conversation, I've been building my businesses for almost 15 years now. And almost every single client that I have ever had that has been a repeat business has hired us because of me and the relationship and the conversation. And almost like a, well, I trust Alyssa, and if she says she can handle this, then like we're going to go ahead and give her a shot. And so much less about what I do and more about who I am and the fact that they believe that they want to work with me.
Absolutely. We're very high touch in that regard. We're very personal and very communicative. And honestly, it should be a joyful process for your client, right? Like it should be something that energizes them and inspires them rather than kind of draining them that they dread. We're not doing our jobs right if it's not fun and positive in the process.
You mentioned that the "we don't work with assholes" is on your about page, and I love that. It does make me wonder, though, you know, as you added people to your team and as that personal brand became less about you as a person and more about the collective that you've gathered, how do you make sure that you are still on the brand voice that you're looking for with your personal brand while giving space for your team to have their own experience?
I hire amazing human beings. First and foremost, they've got to be just great people. I have countless times hired the second or third best portfolio or resume, but because they were an absolutely fantastic, positive, good human being. And the cool thing is you do that long enough and it becomes part of the culture of your agency and people fiercely protect it. When we're doing a hiring process right now, and I don't get to talk to the candidate until the very last conversation. My team interviews multiple times and vets folks, and they will come back to me and say, talented person, but that's not one of us. Like, that's not part of this team. So I have it easy at this point. They've been vetted by my team before they even get to me. And those guys can sniff out what's not right pretty quickly.
So when people are, you know, building their personal brand, building their business brand, trying to go along this path, even with the best intentions, what do you think is the thing that they're still missing? What is their blind spot?
I think sometimes blind spot is audience. You think you're talking to one person, or really you're talking to a completely different set of people. I think you've got to really understand your audience. You've got to kind of know them intimately so that you can have a conversation with them and you can communicate in a way that's going to connect.
There's someone that I follow on TikTok, and she, her whole entire TikTok feed is about what she calls multi-potentialites, people who are kind of jack of all trades. They're good at everything, great at nothing, right? And I identify very strongly with this, with this group of people, because I tell people I am great at many things. I am not the best at anything. And my personality is not meant to be that way. But I had one time left a comment on her TikTok, and I said something like, why does it feel like you're reaching through the screen and like shaking me in this moment? Because I'm resonating so much with what you were saying. And she replied back to my comment something like, I have spent so much time truly deeply understanding the people that fit this mold. I know them, I understand them, and I have dedicated my entire career before I ever made a TikTok to knowing these people as people.
That's your tribe. That's absolutely valuable. And I love that idea of what was the term again?
Multi-potentialite. You have potential in many areas. And I was like, yes, me.
I've got a whole agency full of those. When I was younger, I had a mentor who talked about it. and he called them T-shaped people. So mm-hmm. people who have this deep level of expertise in one area, but also at the top of that T, know a little bit about this and that and this other thing. And that leads to a much richer life. It leads to a much more interesting dinner party conversation. And it also builds much better brands.
Yeah. And it, no shade to someone who's a specialist. Like if you are one person and like, this is your thing and this is the thing you're the best in the world at, kudos to you. It could never be me. I would be bored out of my mind. I know a lot of people like that. And I think we have to have both, right? I have to have someone who knows everything there is to know about video production.
Yeah.
Right. And I have to have someone who knows everything there is to know about running Google Ads. I know enough to be dangerous and to be a problem. I don't necessarily know enough to be effective. But, you know, as someone who is a generalist, and I love that you have an agency full of people who are that multi-potentialite generalist, because I think if that's who you work best with, if that's what you value in people, making sure that they fit that brand, I think that's so important for team culture, because that's what makes or breaks a great brand, because your people are your ambassadors. And if your clients came across one person who didn't fit your brand, not only would that hurt your client relationship with that one person, it might hurt your entire relationship and your entire client base, because that starts to spread.
100%.
So if I'm trying to get this started, and I've done the deep work, I know what I want to be known for, and it's not working, how do I pivot?
Get help. Get a coach. Get a branding agency. Get a personal branding guru. Somebody that can help kind of shepherd and sherpa you through that process, right? It's really difficult to do on your own at times. And so outside help is absolutely valuable in that regard.
One of the things that, you know, when I was doing research on you and kind of preparing for this conversation, you have a note in your profile that is lateral thinking and play. What is that? Bring us into that conversation.
Oh man, lateral thinking is the best. So linear thinking is A leads to B leads to C. Lateral thinking is A leads to basketball leads to Cuba, right? It's that creativity that kids have where it doesn't have to make logical sense. If it's good, it's good. And essentially, there are all these different ways to trick your brain out of linear thinking. Naming, for example, we're doing a naming project. And an example I always use is linear thinking. You end up with International Business Machines, IBM, right? And that's fine. It's a name, but nobody's passionate about IBM.
I didn't even know that's what IBM stood for. That's how much they've leaned away from their actual name.
Yeah. And Pizza Hut, the hut where you go get the pizza. It's fine, but it's not really inspiring.
Yeah.
We just branded an entertainment complex, you know, games and movies and bowling and bar and restaurant. And we called it Hooky, with the idea that like play hooky, escape the everyday, connect, play. And people are going wild about it because it's unique and it's different, but it has a story behind it. It has a purpose. It's not just unique for the sake of being unique. There's more there, essentially.
Well, and I think it also speaks to what a lot of us have a hard time doing, which is speaking to the outcome, right? So like the insinuation is that if you play hooky, you're going to have fun. And it's something that, you know, it's a little bit naughty, you're not, but you're having fun, right? So you've spoken to the outcome with that name. Whereas a lot of people, whether they're naming products or talking about their own services, will focus on the how that they do it, right? Instead of focusing on, or even the why. But they forget the what. And the what is that we're going to have fun. We're going to achieve an outcome. Because there's one of those in my area. And I think they called it like, it's like trio, the trio complex or something like that. Because there's three things you can do there. And it's like, okay, that is very much a how. But it doesn't tell me like, and if I go do those three things, I'm going to have a wonderful time the same way that something like Hooky would.
And even beyond outcome, if you could start to get into the emotional and the social benefits that a brand can provide, right? Like how it makes a person feel about themselves or what it says about them to other people. If you can start to create that, that's lightning in a bottle. Like that's the unfair advantage in the marketplace. Absolutely.
And like that makes sense with, you know, consumer goods, right? A lot of the listeners of this show, though, exist in a business to business realm. So how do I connect social and emotional experiences to a brand like IBM or someone who is kind of a quote unquote boring brand?
I think internal culture is a big part of that. It may not be a fun business, but if the internal culture is amazing, that can go a long way. And again, just that experience of whatever that sales funnel is it fun? Is it inspiring? Did you learn something? Building in those value adds rather than just, you know, jackhammering at sales creates a level of endearment that people will spend a little bit more money for.
Yeah. And I like the point that you just made about value add in the process, because a lot of us will say, well, you'll get value as soon as you write me a check.
Right.
And the idea of like micro value up until, you know, really compounds and starts to build post sale. I think that makes a big difference in how people connect emotionally with their brand, whether you're buying computer hardware or, you know, the latest lipstick that you saw on Instagram.
100%. I agree.
So thinking about, you know, the people that you know or aspire to know, who is leading the charge? Who else should we be paying attention to?
Oh, man. Who am I paying attention to right now? I really like Andrew Huberman. He's a scientist and a professor who just has gone deep into kind of the biohack optimization stuff with health. It's a little bit overwhelming at times because there's so much information coming at you so fast. You're like, I need a note taker for this thing. But it's really insightful. And I think beyond the brass tacks of these different protocols and supplements and exercises and those things, just being aware that that exists and there are these different opportunities to better yourself physically and mentally, that goes a long way with folks, even if they're not following every single protocol he mentions, because I feel like that'd be a full-time job.
If someone is really connecting with you, they want to learn more, they are wanting to pay attention to you, where can they find you online?
HelmsWorkshop.com, tchristianhelms.com. I'm on the Instagrams and the yada, yada, yadas, same deal. So give us a shout.
Well, thank you so much for joining me on the show. This was a really fascinating conversation, and hopefully people got as much out of it as I did.
Alyssa, you're great at this. I really enjoyed it.